What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Horror anthology movies, sometimes they are the creme de la creme of the entire genre. Sometimes they are the absolute trash pit. We watch VHS 99, and we are going to review it today on Hometown Ghost Stories, Horror Movie Reviews. I am your host, Rob, on this cursed movie review that we are trying to get done. I'm joined, as always, by Dave Wilkins and Jesse Wilkins. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hello.
So I brought it up in the intro. Horror movie anthology movies are some of my favorite ones to watch. I love anthologies. The problem with them is some of them are the best. Trick or Treat, for example, one of my favorite movies of all time. And then you come across some that are so bad that I can't even remember the name of them.
VHS Viral.
Yes. The VHS franchise as a whole has some really hard hitters. The first two specifically are phenomenal. Viral, I didn't think they could come back from after that movie came out. But they did. They came out with 94 and 99. And today we're going to be talking about the latest one, which is 99.
So I didn't even know that this was like a series. This is the first I had heard of it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as people who listen to our horror movie reviews know, that I am relatively fresh to the horror genre. I hadn't never seen a horror movie before. It just wasn't really my cup of tea. Now I'm obsessed, and the wife hates it because I won't stop watching horror movies. But this is my first time watching it. For those who haven't seen VHS 99 yet, this will be a spoiler-filled review. So if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and watch it. Come back, watch this review. Or we found out that a lot of people like to watch the review first to see if it's worth watching. So without further ado, let's hop into VHS 99.
Yeah, we're probably going to do this one a little bit different because it is really segmented, more so than other anthology. Well, not more so than others, but they really, they're not as intertwined or at all like some others are. So we're going to give you a little synopsis for each of the different segments. Dave, do you want to hit us with our first segment, which is called Rash?
It's called Shredding. Yes. Shredding is written and directed by Maggie Levin. So RACK, R-A-C-K, which is an acronym for the members, Rachel, Anchor, Chris, and Caleb. They are a rock band who love pulling pranks and regularly record their antics on a web show. For their latest video, the band decides to break into the Colony Underground, a former music venue that burned to the ground 3 years prior in a fatal electrical fire, which resulted in the trampling to death of all four members of a punk band called Bitch Cat. The tape then transitions to a demo reel of Bitch Cat performing and being interviewed. So this one, there were things I liked and things I didn't like about it. So there, I liked how they did a pretty good job of capturing that 1990s, like late 90s video craze that was kind of kicked off by like Jackass and CKY movies. Yep. And whatnot. And everybody had their parents' camcorder and were running around doing Jackass stuff. And that was kind of a cool thing about this one. This one was not my favorite out of the, I think, what were there, four or five of the shorts in this one?
Mm-hmm. At least.
I think, yeah, there were five. I thought the characters were all pretty unlikable. Not great actors, but good enough. I thought it was okay. What did you guys think about this one?
I thought it was the worst one of all of them. I thought the setup was great. I thought the backstory, everyone dying in this fire, they get into this little underground tunnel thing or underground cave or Michael Myers hole or whatever you want to call it. And they're panning around. And I just wanted to see more of like the gruesome scene, but they didn't really. It was just kind of, I don't know. It just wasn't great. And then it wasn't very scary. And it was kind of a silly twist at the end that was very, very, very predictable. And I didn't love this one. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this movie. Then it switched to a brand new story. I was like, I'm glad they switched to a brand new story. So this one I thought was the weakest of all of them. Rob, what'd you think?
So I like the ending of it. I like when the band actually shows up and starts doing what we all expect to happen. The characters are awful. I don't know if this is my least favorite one. There's another one in the thing that we'll get into a little bit that I might like a little less, but the characters, the way they interacted with each other, it didn't feel organic. It didn't feel like this is, even though they're doing these crazy things, they're making it seem like they act this way all the time, even off camera, right? Like it didn't feel organic. It didn't feel real. We're watching a horror movie, but just, you still want that grounded element of these are regular people that are getting into a weird situation. And I didn't relate to them in the sense that, all right, they need to chill a little bit here and there. There was never that chill. They never bonded as friends. It seemed like they were all just like attacking each other, specifically the one kid throughout the entire thing. And I thought if they bonded the band a little bit better, it would have played better when the other band shows up to kill them, if that makes sense.
Right. So these movies, these shorts are always, you're going to have to suspend your disbelief, obviously, with them. And a lot of times it's possible to do that. But when characters aren't particularly well written, or with this, I don't know whether they're poorly written or if the actors just weren't like top tier actors, it will remind you of the fact that it's not real or doesn't seem believable. And that's what I think we're getting a little bit with this one.
Yeah. So I definitely see that. Anything else on this one?
Overall unlikable. I think that this could have been a fine ending to this thing. To this part of it anyways, if when they played the music, they were really bad at playing the music. But the fact that they like jammed out on this song, it was, again, not believable. It's not really supposed to be, but it like the drummer's like that, you basically like a puppet and they're pulling the strings or whatever. It should have just been like awful instruments. And
that would have been so good. That was so that's a great idea. Right. It would have been so creepy if they were, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I didn't think of that. I like that idea. For sure. That you just solved half of the problems in this movie by giving it a way better ending.
It would have been much more fun.
Yeah, that would have been great.
All right, let's get into the next one.
The next one was called Suicide Bid, written and directed by Joannis Roberts. College freshman Lily is desperate to join Beta Sigma Eta, the most prestigious sorority on her campus. Lily performs a, quote, suicide bid, only applying to one sorority as her recruitment choice, risking potential alienation upon rejection. So this one, I think, had potential to be the best and very much could have been the best and was the best right up until, I think, the very end. I don't think they drove it home with the monster or the creature at the end of it. I thought if it was a little bit better, like, I don't know, if the monster was a little scarier or less, I don't know. There was something about it I didn't like, but I think that it just missed the mark in the end. But I thought it was probably the best story and had the highest potential to be the best story. I thought this one was pretty well acted. I didn't really have any issues with the actors in this one. I thought the story was fun. This is the only one where you have like real fears incorporated into it. Claustrophobia, being buried alive, things like that. Arachnophobia, exactly. Just really uncomfortable. There were a lot of scenes that were very, very, very uncomfortable and very like high tension and anxiety. This one could have and should have been the best, but I thought the monster at the end was kind of fell a little flat.
I think that this is the opposite of the first one, where this one's so good because of the acting, because of the characters, because it feels real. Like, this girl wants nothing more than to be like to fit in with this one sorority. She's doing everything she can, but she's never going to fit in. And I thought she acted it real well. It's believable situation where they get her absolutely drunk. I mean, the coffin thing is next level, but it's not out of the question that somebody would do something like this, right? Like, it's, if they had the opportunity to, they would do it. Hell, if we had the opportunity to do this to somebody, Andrew's going in a coffin, right? We're putting Captain McSlugs in a coffin. Yeah. So it's something that we would do to some, like you would do to somebody. Now, we wouldn't leave them there the way that these girls did.
Yeah.
You know, like it got a little more intense, but the acting really drove it home. And I do think that this is my second favorite one of all of them. And yeah, the monster wasn't great, but I do like the way that they ended this for the most part. It could have been done a little bit better, but I still like this one a lot.
Yeah, this one kicked ass. Like I thought it was awesome. I thought the prank wasn't like, obviously it was a little over the top, but it's fine for this movie. And the big scene in this one, I thought that was like, that was authentic, was, excuse me, when the girls showed up the next day and the whole grave is just filled with water and they're all standing like, oh fuck, like, yeah. What do we do? I mean, they should have shown up a little bit sooner. They got scared off by the police, so it was fine. They did tie all in the reasons that all these things happened. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that the monster in this story was completely unneeded, because she turned into the monster and then all the girls ended up in the coffins anyways. They could have avoided this whole thing. I think all they needed, because it had that little window, it was like a cross window in the coffin that you could see out the whole time. And we were all just waiting for the monster's face to pop up in that window, right? And I think maybe if they just did like a quick little shot of that monster, maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't there. They did not need it crawling in there. I don't think that the monster was completely necessary at all. And the...
I could see that. I could see making the girl that was in the coffin, because they had laid out this story of the girl that, you know, that was the monster, like her backstory. And if they had just made the new girl that new version of that monster, like now it actually did happen, then I think that might have been a little bit better.
Yeah, so exactly. That so like the legend turns you into the next monster, and then she threw the girls into the coffin after that. So
for sure.
I thought, but overall, I thought this one was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed the angle that they took with it.
Yeah.
And the spider's thing, when she smashed that spider and got it all over her hand, that was so authentic and well acted and disgusting at the same time. I was like, oh God, because you got to do it, right? You got to smash the spiders. She smashed it with her hand. It's just all dripping down her hand. I was like, oh, that's gross.
Gross. We didn't even get into like the feeling of claustrophobia that people would feel in this situation. And I thought that they showed that very, very well with her in that coffin. The way they shot that and everything was really well done. So we should probably just like touch on that real quick. So I just wanted to make sure we brought that up before we forget and move on to the next one. Anything else on this one?
No, I thought that one was awesome though. Much better than the first one. What's the second one played? I was like, okay, all right, I can fuck with this movie. This is gonna be a good one.
Now that we've hit on these two, I want to just talk about the in-between segment.
I was just gonna say that. These.
Were you? Okay.
I was gonna say before we go. So before, like, every VHS movie has, you know, five or six different short stories, and then they have an interesting way of weaving them together. If you saw the first one, you know that was, you know, kids broke into a house and found a box of VHS tapes. I won't spoil anything from that movie, but that was the thing that wove it all together, and it was a recurring thing in between each movie. That storyline would progress a little bit, and that's part of what I really liked about the VHS movies. The second one did the same thing with a different storyline. This one, I think, was the first one that pretty much straight up abandoned that. And there was something in between that sort of strung them together, but it really didn't. And it was kind of weird. It didn't make a whole lot of sense, and they didn't really tie it together at the end. So for me, this movie was missing that one element that I thought was the glue that holds them together. Otherwise, it's just five short stories, which is fine. I love horror short stories. I love anthology series. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but it's when you're expecting something going into it and then that is kind of missing, or they change it and then don't really drive it home. I think that's a problem for me.
Okay, so coming from me, who went into this movie without seeing any of the other ones and not even knowing that that was a thing, when I finished the movie, I was like, that was, you know, that was pretty cool. It was fun. And they had absolutely nothing to do with each other, and whatever. I guess this is just what it is. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that was ever a thing with this franchise. So from coming from an outsider, made no sense to me. But whatever, I was still cool with it.
Yeah, you need to go back and watch the first two for sure. I didn't like this. I didn't like it either. I didn't like the way they did the in between. Some of it was a little bit funny. Like I did chuckle at a few of the army men things.
When the army guys were just making out with each other. Yeah. That's hilarious part of the whole movie.
So like there was some funny parts of it. It's just, again, just to go back to what Dave said, the way they did the first one and the second one, I didn't finish VHS 94 yet. I'm not loving that connective tissue so far, but I haven't watched the whole thing, so it's not fair for me to say if I do or do not like that one yet. But yeah, the way they did this one was not my favorite, so I just wanted to make sure we touched on that before we forgot to.
Good call. The next one is called Ozzy's Dungeon, written by Zoe Cooper and Flying Lotus, directed by Flying Lotus. Ozzy's Dungeon is a children's game show where young contestants participate in physical challenges for a chance to descend into the titular dungeon and meet Ozzy, who will allow the winner to be granted a wish. So this one was the third one. And what did you guys think about this one, Jesse?
I thought it dragged on a little bit and it was a little wacky. But when it first started, I was like, this is fun and this is messed up. And the challenges that they're doing, it reminded you a lot of like, I don't know, some of those shows that we used to watch as a kid, like Temple of
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Of the Hidden Temple, and you know, a couple shows like that. But obviously this one was like they just had no regard for kids' safety.
Double Dare
whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was okay. It was just I felt like it dragged on a little long. I kind of liked where it went at the end, but then I thought the ending was kind of stupid. I don't know. This one, it was just a little long, but overall the story was I think this one was one of my least favorite out of them, but it was a little more gory. The girl's leg breaking was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the competition that was matched up with each other, she was facing like a grown man in this competition where she basically had to go through this like little mini obstacle course, and whoever reached the end, which apparently was just an impossible goal anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So then basically you have the family of the girl who ended up losing technically, and they end up going back and kidnapping the host. And I guess at this point, the show was kind of no more.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we want her wish. And the wish is like anything that you want. It's just, you can win whatever your little heart desires. And that's the prize for winning this thing. And they take him through and they kind of torture him and make him do the obstacle course. And it's a more extreme version of the obstacle course, and he's crawling through like human feces, and then they torture him a little more, and then they take him. He's like, well, I can still get you into the studio. The prize is still there, and takes him there. And I don't have to go through the whole story, but basically the Viking woman who is working at the thing, he just knocks on the door and she just opens the door with a torch. Like she's been waiting the whole time. I was like, well, that's silly, but awesome. And they go in. I thought the cave was pretty creepy. The whole scenario that they had going in there was you just had no idea what you were going to see. Like what is this thing that gives off whatever prize you could ever want? And I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
I liked this one. This one kind of reminded me. You had a little kind of like a Saw. You got like Saw vibes from this one, or like Hostel, or you know, basically just torture movies. And it was. The host that was played by Stephen Ogg, who I like, you see him in The Walking Dead. You see him in he was at Grand Theft Auto 5. He was so it was fun to see him in this. I think he's probably the biggest actor in this whole movie.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he killed it. And for me, this one I thought was pretty fun. I thought all the actors in this were good. And it's just torture porn. So you're going through it. If that's not your thing, you're probably not going to like it. If that is your thing, you probably find it pretty amusing, which is I thought it was pretty amusing.
So I was thrown off guard by the leg break scene with the kid at first. Because I didn't know where they were going with this. Like, I didn't know what their angle was, which is what was intriguing to me. It's like, where are they going with Double Dare / Legends of the Hidden Temple thing? Like, what are we doing here? Where are we going to bring this segment? And then we get the leg break, and I'm like, wasn't expecting that. That was gross. And the mother was great. The mother that was pissed off that was leading the whole thing of getting her revenge on this host that basically screwed up what they thought was going to be the brightest child of the entire family in history to go on and do great things and has ruined her life. Yep. And just the revenge factor and all that, I was into it. And then they lost me completely, to be honest. Because I'm like, I don't know if this is where you needed to go with this, to the genie and stuff, mm-hmm. where you already had something going well. So that when I said earlier that I had one that might be a little bit more that I didn't like as much of as the first one, it's this one, because I just really didn't like where they brought it. Love the beginning. It was one of the more intriguing ones, like, because I didn't know where they were going with it, like, at all. All the other ones, you could kind of like, you kind of knew what was going to happen or which direction they were going to go, I would say, for the most part. And this one was just such a shock. And then they just
dragged it out
and went to a place where it's like, let's just keep shocking them. And it's like, no, you found what it should be. You shocked me into what it was. And maybe we should have stuck with this direction with it.
I don't really know how else could they have ended it once they got all the way to that point where she gets her wish. And obviously she wishes just to kill her family or whatever. And I was like, okay. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe that's her wish. I would have figured she would have wished for her legs back or $1 million or something. But then it's like, you're also thinking, it's like, how does this creature that's like laying on this bed is like morbidly obese? Like, so what, she's going to like tap into the bank account and wire the money to you? It's just, I don't really know how they were going to go about you obtaining this wish that they're going to give you. So
I just wouldn't know what it already gave me at all.
I was going to say it had already gone too far at that point. The great thing about short anthology stories is all you have to do is tell a short, scary story. You don't have to explain things. You don't need origins. You don't need reasons. Just tell a story that has something scary happens and throw a twist in it. It ends. Explain nothing. What this one did was they tried to cram a 90-minute feature film into a 15, 20-minute segment, and there's just too much in there.
Thank God this wasn't a whole movie.
It would have been, and it would have been an abortion. So it wasn't. I mean, it was also probably my least favorite of the five.
Just real quick.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Is that the word you want to use in this song?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
But it was just they dragged it out too much. I don't know how you end it after they do the torture scene,
have the family turn on the mother, right? So like the daughter is obviously upset. Everyone's getting bullied by the mother. Make the mother do the obstacle course with the man, and the one who loses, something happens to, or something, you know, like, I'm not saying it's a great ending, but I'm saying it stays within the theme of what they're doing. And we're not having.
Yeah, I think this should have ended at the obstacle course.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Either the mother lives or the guy lives or something like that, and then that's the end of it. I don't think it needed to go into this strange cave of wonders and.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think this one was at least a little more interesting than the first one, and definitely less predictable. I still think the first one was my least favorite.
That's fair. It's totally fair.
This is definitely like at the bottom with the first one, though.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add to this one if you want to move on to the next one.
The next one is The Gawkers, written by Chris Lee Hill and Tyler McIntyre, directed by Tyler McIntyre. Brady is a young teenager who films stop-motion videos of toy soldiers with his older brother Dylan's camera. While Brady records his latest video, Dylan bursts into his room and takes the camera, which he uses himself to film practicing pickup lines. He and his friends Kurt, Mark, and Boner exclude Brady from their activities, thinking him to be a hopeless loser. The friends then go out to pull pranks on the neighborhood residents and each other, then perform tricks at the local skate park. The group also discover a large patch of snake skin near the field, taunting Boner to eat it. So, Rob, what were your thoughts on this one?
So this is my favorite one out of every single story that is told here. And what I'll say is, as they're leading into it and they start showing the neighbor, we know something's going to be up with the neighbor, right? Like my head goes, she's like a werewolf or something like that. That's where my head immediately went to with the neighbor. And they do this whole different thing that just blew my mind, where, you know, they have the little brother go over to her because he's actually talked to her. All the friends are jealous. The brother's jealous. They're like, oh, well, you're good. And then the girl wants him to help her set up this new camera. And they want her to put the spyware on her so they can watch her get undressed and everything. And we know that's where it's going to go nuts. She's going to catch him or something like that. So I thought they were setting up the camera and they were going to see her transform into a werewolf. Like, it just seemed like the logical projection, right? Like, We see werewolves in movies. This is going to be her turning into a werewolf. And I would have been fine with it. I wouldn't have hated it. It would have been a unique spin on it, the way that they find out that she's a werewolf. But she's not a werewolf. She's freaking Medusa.
Yeah.
Which was like, I just had no clue that that's where they were going to go with this.
Me neither.
I actually saw this one coming from a mile away. Not to try to sound smarter than everybody in the room, but you didn't see the heads in her bush?
Yeah, I did.
To clarify, I'm talking about an actual shrubbery. I know we're talking about spying on her getting undressed, but no, it's a shrubbery outside of her, in her front yard, and there's these stone heads that look like, you know, young guys' severed heads, but they're, you know, statue busts or whatever. And that's immediately when I was like, oh, she's going to be Medusa. She's turning people to stone. That's the only reason. Why else would they have this thing? And they had shown it and talked about it in the movie, like, oh yeah, she must be like a sculptor or something, or a collector of weird art. And that's why I'm big brain Jesse made the connection.
Finally you got one of these things together and caught something me and Dave didn't.
That's right, damn it.
Yeah, that's an impressive catch. I didn't see it coming. I thought completely blown away when the snakes started popping out of her head, because I've never seen like a side of like Medusa movies, like Clash of the Titans and whatnot. Like, I'd never seen Medusa incorporated into a horror film, or like even like a Medusa. You get like, I guess, like references here and there and different things, but never like a full-on of a Medusa monster, which I thought was pretty cool. And this had my favorite little snippet of a scene when the kids start freaking out and they call 911, and the 911 operator's like, what's the problem? And they're like, the neighbor, she's got snakes coming out of her head. And the 911 operator just goes, how many snakes, sir?
It was awesome.
Yeah. Like a wonderful little line they added in there. This was really well done. And it was absolute chaos, obviously, after she turns into Medusa. And they incorporated the kids turning into stone and whatnot. And she just, an absolute bloodbath. And this was a perfectly executed short horror film.
This is exactly what I was about to say.
This is exactly what you want. It was interesting story. You create a villain off the bat. An antagonist villain. I mean, like your protagonists are the antagonists here. So you create that off the bat, and then you have the chaos and the twist, and everything just comes together, and it's just a perfect short horror story.
Set up what happens, and it's done, right? Like, it's just, is it my favorite one of all time? No, there's many that I like more, but execution-wise, this is what I want all the time. Give me the setup, give me something that happens, and get out of there if we're doing an anthology horror movie. Like, perfectly done.
No, you're right, man. No, this one was great. It was long enough, didn't drag out, got to the point, cool twist. But I'll tell you where you're wrong, is that it is not better than the next one that we're going to talk about.
Dave's synopsis was longer than this segment.
the next one is by far my favorite.
Same.
All right, let's get into it.
To Hell and Back, written and directed by Vanessa and Joseph Winter. On New Year's Eve 1999, best friends and videographers Nate and Troy have been hired by what is revealed to be Coven of Witches. Their task is to film the witches performing a ritual where a woman named Kristen volunteers to be offered as a vessel to a powerful demon known as Ukubon. I guess. I have no idea how to pronounce that.
That sounded right.
No, I want you to keep this. I don't care. Keep this, because that dramatic pause was amazing. So just go into the review.
So this one was my favorite. This reminded me of a Tenacious D music video.
Yes, so such a good comparison.
It was fun. It was chaos, and it was ridiculous. With there were some good graphics, and there were some hilariously bad graphics, which I liked the juxtaposition, to use a Rob word. I liked the juxtaposition of those two things together. And I didn't know where it was going to go, and it all kind of came together at the end. And I thought it was kind of tied up into a neat little package, a nice horrible package to hand to me and say, here's the end of our movie. Fuck you. And I thought it was really great and fun.
I have one big word that I know, and you have to steal it from me.
Sorry.
This thing was awesome, dude. It was so much fun. Like, this could have been a whole movie. Obviously, they would have had to do a lot more things, and they couldn't have based the entire thing basically in hell. But these two, they absolutely crushed their roles. They were such a likable pair, absolutely hilarious. The bigger guy like wore his New Year's party hat like the entire time. I love the bickering between them. He's like, where one of them just keeps saying like you keep saying I'm not a bad guy. Like, I wouldn't have gone to hell. And he's like this is your fault, because he's blaming each other for being a bad person. He's like, and then what it came out to why he thought he was a bad person was the dumbest reason ever. He's like, you told my ex-girlfriend that I have a gambling addiction or something like that. And it was just like every single comment, like these guys just got thrown into the most horrifying situation you could ever imagine. They literally ended up in hell, and they're wandering around and just realizing what's going on. And it's pretty terrifying. Like, there's body parts and mutilated bodies around and demons and little corpses and just, the whole thing is just, it was like a new take on hell, because there really wasn't any fire from what I remember. But it was like these weird kind of, looked like the Grand Canyon or something, you know, but it was so well done. These guys were so likable. They could have definitely gotten an entire movie, and I wouldn't be surprised if off this role they end up with some sort of a movie, because it was so much fun.
They have turned some of, at least one of the short stories in a VHS movie into a full movie. So it's not out of the realm of possibility of doing something like that.
Which one was that?
I think it was the Succubus one from the first VHS movie, if I recall correctly. If I'm wrong, blast me in the comments. I'm okay with it. We'll deal with it. But they did one, or at least one like that. What I found funny, other than everything that you brought up, is I compared this to Lord of the Rings, where it's almost like these two guys got thrown into Mordor and they found a golem to bring them around Mordor. And I just got real big Lord of the Rings vibes on this movie, where they're, and that girl was great. Like, I loved the way she played it, and she just really reminded me of Gollum throughout the whole
thing. Yeah, you're right. Maybe too much, actually. I think I made that connection when I was watching it. She was a little over the top, but it was fine, dude. This is the most over the top little short film out of this entire thing. It was just kind of got like a little bit of like Evil Dead vibes, where you're like, this is fine, just do whatever you want, because this is awesome. And then the way it wrapped up, or like, Dave, would you let you get into your thoughts on it?
I think I shared my
I didn't want to hop into the ending too much if you still had more to add, but that the ending where they finally like get through this whole thing and they escape hell, right? They basically attach themselves to the demon at the right time when they're doing their thing to conjure up the demon, and they get conjured back instead. And sure enough, their voice, like they entered the wrong bodies. Yep. And one of them is the girl. And just the way that the witches, who have clearly done this a few times before, just like, oh, and then they just dispose of these two.
Yep.
Immediately, like, oh, you made it back from hell just to get killed by a bunch of witches.
Yeah. But to your point, when you do something over the top, and you lean into it, usually that's when it's great. It's mm-hmm. when these movies or shorts or whatever try to do one thing over the top and don't build around, like everything else around that isn't the same.
No, you're right. Like I mentioned this in our Smile review. We just did a Smile review where mm-hmm. the whole movie was just kind of like creepy and killer and, you know, certain kind of things happening. And then at the end, I don't know, you guys love the ending, but my only issue was that like the whole movie wasn't like this. And this part is way over the top. And that was kind of my only issue with the ending. Didn't necessarily hate the ending, but to what you just said, yeah. Rob, where it's like, if you're not mixing it in with the rest of the movie, then it doesn't really work.
Yeah,
no, I think Smile's a bad example, but I think what a good example would be is earlier in this movie was the Aussie's Dungeon one, where you have them doing one thing and then they mm-hmm. go to this banana land ending and it just doesn't work. This did work because, like Rob said, you started off with this wacky idea and they leaned into it and it was the whole thing beginning to mm-hmm. end.
Yeah, and just some of the scenes of them like going up and seeing one of the demons and freaking out and running away from it, just so good. But yeah, they lean into it. The Evil Dead leaned into it. That's why that's a great example too.
And even in this like 15 minutes, you had the character arc of the guy who's basically a piece of crap or whatever, and he basically like goes in and helps fight these demons with his friend, and they win this battle because they worked together. And for the whole thing, they're not working together, they're blaming each other for everything. And so you got that little arc, but in the end it didn't really matter, but still absolutely phenomenal. I love this one.
Yeah, so this one was real close for me with the Medusa one. And I really like the coffin one too. So like, I haven't finished VHS 94, to be in full disclosure. I started it. I haven't gotten through the whole thing. As Dave brought up earlier, VHS Viral was an absolute train wreck. Like, I hate watch that. It was so bad, I can't even tell you any of the segments that happened in it anymore because I've blocked that movie out of my mind completely. So for them to get back and me liking the majority of their shorts in this one is it's great, because I'm like, thank God we can still do these VHS movies and I can still like them and they still can find these directors and actors to make this an ongoing thing. They shut it down for like 7 years because of how bad Viral was before they brought it back. So yeah, I'm glad that this was strong. Do we want to get into some overall reviews of it?
Yeah, let's give it some. So it's an anthology of found footage horror, which is probably my favorite style horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's the fifth installment of the franchise. This one ranks right in the middle for me. Yeah. It goes 2-1, 99-94 Viral. Yeah. That's how, and this one's probably 3-9, I think, for this one.
That was my exact score that I had in my head.
You can use it.
I'm going to stick with it. It's a 3-9. I mean, three out of the five were good. Two of them I thought were not great.
Hmm.
One of them I thought was pretty bad. So it's like, you know, overall, it's an above average movie. The majority of these short stories. And you got to rank this one a little bit differently than you rank a regular horror movie, right?
Yeah.
Because this one is, you're ranking, what was it, four or five individual stories. So
you have like seven different directors. Writers.
Two of them were so strong. And I think obviously we're all in agreement here. The Medusa one and the last one were the strongest out of it. But I thought the coffin one was also
very strong. It was right up there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's why it's a 3.6 for me. I think it's definitely worth watching. The two that I didn't like, the one I didn't like at all. I don't want to say I didn't like at all. I liked both. It's just weird because the ones that I don't like, I like the end of one and I like the beginning of the other. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing that I absolutely hate, but I think a 3.6, I did not like the army men in between, even though it did tie into one of the stories, which was good. I just wished a little more.
It made no sense when you were watching it at the beginning.
Why is that video camera the one with all of these?
Right.
They didn't finish the story.
Right.
They also didn't survive. So, yeah.
So, again, I like the other movies that actually tie all that in. So, 3.6 is where I'm going to go with this. You should definitely watch it. You know, if we were rating these individual segments, some of these would be close to fives.
Yeah.
They would definitely be in the fours, and some would be in the twos. I don't think anything would be you know, less than like a 1.5 is what I
don't
say.
Even think any of them were that bad. I think 1.5.
Right. No, it's definitely a watchable and fun movie that I think everybody should go and watch. And our rankings weren't super high. That's because some of the segments were not great, but some of them were so good that you don't want to miss it. So I would definitely check it out.
3.6 to 3.9 on an anthology movie is, I think, really solid, because you're going to be getting a bunch of different stories, and not every one of them is going to be your individual cup of tea. You might get like a type of horror thing that you just don't like. Like Dave, you brought up like the quote unquote Saw style, Hostel style torture porn. That's not for everybody. So when that segment hits and you're not into that, you're going to automatically knock the score of the movie, right? Or when it goes into that genie for me in that segment, it's like, why are we doing it on this movie? Where if you had just led with that the whole way, maybe I like it better. So I think 3.6 to 3.9 is like, for an anthology, it shows you that it's actually really good. I don't think that's a bad score at all for this type of movie.
No, you're right about that.
I would watch it.
You did?
I did watch it. If I were you, I would watch it.
Let's take a quick moment here to thank our patrons, starting with our VIPs. We have Jeannie R, Jimmy H, Justin T, Lisa J, Mallory K, Mike B, Mama Pops W, Stephen V, and the Demon King. Thank you guys so much for being VIPs. You are absolute legends. We also have Jake V, Stephanie A, Sydney B, Anthony, Angry Dave Rocks, T, Brandon W, Captain McSlugs, Cody G, Carrie Lee J, Mark M, Matthew T, Mariah M, Papa Squatch, Rachel B, Sarah, Dave Loves Bacon R, Sarah W, Soph, and Hooper. Thank you guys so much. If you want to join this list, as little as $3 a month, you could join the Patreon, get some fresh swag, things that we'll send to you, and also ad-free episodes, early access to certain content, and lots of other cool perks. So swing on over to Patreon. It's the best way to support the show. Other way is Apple Podcasts. Make sure you leave a 5-star review, leave a comment. We'll read it out on the live Tuesday episode in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
Millions and millions.
Shout out to Bloody Disgusting. This is another Bloody Disgusting produced movie that we have covered. So yeah. Good job, guys. Keep pumping them out.
They have good taste. They signed us.
That's true.
They know what they're doing.
And I think just to expand upon that, this shows that even though we're affiliated with a company that does something, we are still giving out our raw,
honest scores.
Real, yeah. Honest scores. So, like, because otherwise we'd be like, oh, 5 across the board for the movie that our company produced, right?
There was nothing wrong with this.
Nothing at all. So I think it's good that we did this movie, and there's stuff that we like and we didn't like. Mm-hmm. And we'll be fired tomorrow, and it's okay.
Yes.
They can't fire us. We have a contract.
Fair. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Hometown Ghost Story Horror Movie Reviews. If there's any that you want, you can send us an email. I promise we have a few that have been asked to do. The next horror movie review we are going to do is the Pet Sematary movies.
Yep.
So,
which is your request.
Which
lots
is
of other requests too. We're gonna try to get to all of them, but that won't stop us. So leave in the comments below. We'll review pretty much any and every horror movie.
We just wanted to finish up the new movies that have came out around the Halloween season and make sure that we had a review out for all of those because they're newer. But we are gonna go back and start.
Man, it was hard to keep up.
It was a lot, and a lot of
what
good
a year.
Ones. A lot of good ones. Like it's one of the best years for horror that there's been in a long time.
I can't think of a stronger year.
Yeah, so like I'm very happy with the state of horror movies going forward. I'm glad that we're getting these type of movies between, you know, VHS 99. We just recently did Pearl, and, you know, even stuff like Black Phone that kind of kicked off the newer movies of this season. Like, you're getting so many different styles. They're so well done. And then Halloween Ends comes in, and it's just a giant fucking piece of trash, and almost ruins the entire thing. But wait, we'll get back.
You guys are terrified. You guys do it. It's okay.
Wait, you guys reviewed Black Phone? Yeah, we did review Black Phone. It's funny you should ask. If you want to see our review of Black Phone, sign up on Patreon. It's a Patreon exclusive.
Yes, it is. All right. But for myself, for Dave, for Jesse, that's going to do it for now. We will catch you next time.